The Christian in Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17b. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Chapter 17. The Church of Rome, charged of high presumption and great cruelty in disarming the people of the sword of the Scriptures. Is the word the sword of the Spirit, whereby the Christian vanquishes his enemies? Then we may justly charge the Church of Rome with cruelty to the souls of men in disarming them of that weapon with which alone they can defend themselves against their enemies that seek their entire ruin. It is true they have some fig leaves with which they would fain hide their shameful practice, making the world believe they do it in the mercy to the people, lest they should cut and wound themselves with this weapon. We see, say they, how many errors and heresies the world swarms with by the mistakes of the vulgar, yea, Peter himself, they dare bring as a witness on their side, who saith that there are some things hard to be understood in Paul's epistles, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do with scriptures unto their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. And therefore they judge that as the scripture is so dangerous for ordinary people to meddle with, it is best to put it out of their reach, as we do a sword from children, though they cry much for it. See what a fair glove they draw over so foul a hand. But did Peter, because some learned and unstable souls wrestled the scripture, forbid them or any other, how weak soever, to read the scriptures? This had carried some weight with it, but we find just the contrary. For in the following verses, the counsel he gives Christians that they may not be led away with the error of the wicked is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Light is the chariot that conveys the influences of the sun, so the knowledge of Christ brings with it the influences of his grace into the heart. And how did Peter mean they should grow in the knowledge of Christ if he would not have them read the scriptures, which is the only book where it is taught? But the papists would have their people learn the knowledge of Christ from their preaching of him, and not from the scriptures, which they cannot so safely converse with. But first, how shall they be assured that what they preach is true, except they have the scripture, to which, as unto the true touchstone, they may bring their doctrine to be tried? Thus did the Bereans, B-E-R-E-A-N-S, by Paul's sermon, Acts chapter 17, verse 11, a preacher as good, I troth, as any of theirs. And secondly, suppose they preach the truth, can they warrant that their words shall not be perverted and mistaken by their hearers? And if they cannot, why then are they suffered to preach in a vulgar tongue, when the word of God for the same reason is forbidden to be read by the people in a known tongue? Truly I am of that learned man's mind, that if God himself may not speak in a vulgar tongue, I see far less reason that a friar should. And so the people should know nothing at all of Christ. M-E-D-E on Jeremiah 10:11. No, the true reason why they forbid the scripture to be read is not to keep them from errors and heresies, but to keep them from discovering those which they themselves impose upon them. Such trash as they trade in would never go off their hand did they not keep their shop thus dark, which make one of their shavings so bitterly complaint of Luther for spoiling their market, saying that but for them they might have persuaded the people of Germany to eat hay. anything indeed will go down a blind man's throat. I do not wonder that their people, thus kept in ignorance, do so readily embrace their fopperies and believe all their forgeries. The blind man must enter, sit still, or go whether he pleases that leads him. We read of a whole army, when once smitten with blindness, carried out of their way by one single man that had his eyes in his head, 2 Kings 6:19. But this we may wonder at, that men who know the Scriptures, as many of their leaders do, and acknowledge their divinity, dare to be so impudent and ostentatious as to intercept this letter sent from the great God to the sons of men, and not suffer them, except a few whom they think fit, to look on it, though it be subscribed and directed by God himself, not to any party or sort of men, but to every man where it comes, Romans 1:7, 2 Corinthians 1:1. This is a piece of imprudence that cannot be paralleled. Wherefore are laws made, but to be propagated? Scripture written, but to be read and known of all men? I am sure the apostle, by the same authority with which he wrote his epistle, commands it to be read in the church, Colossians 4:16. And did the ministers of those churches pocket them up and conceal them from the people's notice, lest they should, by perverting them, be made heretics? It is too true, some wrestle the Scriptures to their own destruction, and so do some, for want of care in eating, choke themselves with their bread. Must all therefore starve for fear of being choked? Some hurt themselves and friends with their weapons. Must therefore the whole army be disarmed, and only a few fellow officers be allowed to wear a sword by their sides? Truly, if this be argument enough to seal up the Bible from being read, we must not only deny it to the meaner and more unlearned sort, but also to the great rabbis and doctors, for the grossest heresies have bred in the finest wits. Prodigies' errors have been as much beholden, so this philosophy of honoris, A-R-I-U-S, as to the ignorancy of A-E-T-I-U-S, so that the upshot of all will be this. The unlearned must not read the Scriptures, because they may pervert them through ignorancy, nor the learned, because they may wrestle them by their subtlety. Thus, we see when proud men will be wiser than God, their foolish minds darken till they lose the reason and understanding of men. End of chapter 17.